Or what are the end timers? You know, it's the end times. It's the end times. You know, those that are crying about every little thing that goes wrong, instead of correcting the wrong, they look to another Jesus who will come and rapture them out of where they're at. And by the way, the word rapture appears nowhere in the Bible. These people in their unregenerate state even look for excuses as to why they should write a book every year about why Jesus is coming back in that particular year. These people offer hopelessness and nothing else. Instead of them taking responsibility and keeping the commandments of God, they throw off God's commandments as legalistic instead of showing their love to the one that died for them. Titus 1:16 states, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate." These are those who the Lord warns about in Psalm 78, verses 5 through 10. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law." Instead of the law converting the soul, see Psalm 19:7, they use fear in the fear of consequence as their fear master to bring them unto another Jesus, who is in truth is an enemy to our souls. Yet Scripture states that we have been not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See 2 Timothy 1:7. What is worse is that these fuel fear at every opportunity that they have while they sit there and attempt to oppress the next generation with their lawlessness. These do not preach Christ crucified. They preach, "Get ready, fearful flock. Jesus is coming back to get us." They don't preach that we are overcomers, but rather submitters to the next author that writes a book about how bad everything is and that there's no sense in lifting a finger to help our posterity. They do not preach, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world," 1 John 4:4, and how contrary to the word of God. Jesus taught his disciples to seek and save that which is lost, to go to the highways and to the hedges, and to go to the fields and reap the harvest. But again, these are exposed for what they leave undone, and this is a clear lack of Christianity. I say to the older generations who teach hopelessness, you will and you are despised for what you leave undone, for everyone sees your godlessness. And by the way, what Bible are you reading that you would teach the opposite of what Scripture teaches? When I hear these people say the things that they say, because it goes no further than out of their mouths, I wonder, where is Jesus? Where is God in their message? Because when I read the Word of God, I see nowhere, and I said nowhere, that we are promised defeat except in our disobedience towards God. We are not to limit the Holy One of Israel. Instead, we are to respond to God's commandments and take his promises by faith. When I read the book of Psalms, I see where David bore his cross, but God always gave him the victory, no matter what the circumstances were in David's life. My Bible teaches that God is the deliverer, and when we take heed to his word, he gives us the victory every time. Now, folks, can you imagine our forefathers back in the 1700s saying, "This is it, it's all over with, Jesus is coming to get us out of here"? No, our forefathers responded to God. They took heed unto him, and he bestowed upon them the victory through the Revolutionary War. Remember our national motto, "No king but King Jesus," with flags waving, appeal to heaven? You see, they saw their responsibility and answered the call. America, we can call upon the God of our forefathers even now, because his name is Jesus. He will answer, but you must respond to his written word. And this is what God established through our forefathers. Jeremiah 33:14-15. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Our forefathers did not lay down, they stood up and fought. They fought and secured their posterity, that's me and you. They didn't fall to circumstances.
Ben Franklin said in September of 1782 that bad examples to youth are more rare in America, which must be comfortable consideration to parents. To this may be truly added that serious religion, Christianity, under its various denominations, is not only tolerated, but respected and practiced. Atheism is unknown there, infidelity rare and secret, so that persons may live to a great age in that country without having their piety shocked by meeting with either atheist or an infidel. Martin Luther King Jr. was right when he said that a man of conscience can never be a consensus leader. He doesn't take a stand in order to search for consensus. He is ultimately a molder of consensus. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort or in the moments of convenience, but where he stands in the moments of being challenged and in moments of controversy.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, we're going to be talking about raptured from responsibility is what the heretics sell. And I want to make sure people understand what I'm highlighting here. They're preaching that which does not exist in the Word of God, first and foremost. They have nothing but, well, found to be conjecture at every given turn, or should I say every given turn. That's an opinion or conclusion formed on the basis of incomplete information. So therefore, they're adding on to prophecy that has been given. Read Revelation 22, starting verse 18 right there. Those that add to, the Lord will add the plagues to. Those that take away, the Lord will add the plagues. I mean, it's obvious we're not to add to or take away, but this is what they're doing. In making distinction, there are some that believe this heretical doctrine of rapture, and this is what I'm attacking here, friends. This is what I am undoing, and in the sense of just slaying it to the ground and laying the axe to the root of the tree, and just completely causing the tree to fall over concerning all the heresies that are around it and within it, and who it's coming from. There are those that believe in the rapture, but they're still doers of the word, which doesn't take away the heresy from what it is that they're responsible for teaching, but there are some people that actually do believe it. So I want you to understand the angle that I'm coming at it, because what I see more than anything, for example, in Minnesota here, they have these hippies, and they're in the pulpits of the church today, and they're teaching being raptured from responsibility, as if to suggest the Lord is going to raise up an army and take them out in the midst of the battle, which conflicts with Scripture at every given step. I mean, I'm just thinking of Hebrews 11:32 right now concerning the heroes of the faith. Look what it is that they went through. And as a matter of fact, if you go all the way from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you're going to see nothing but faith in action. Them showing the world that the faith that they obtained by the Lord. They see an exhibition at every given turn, an example. And I like to say this more than anything, is this: there wouldn't be a book of Acts if we all thought the same way that these people do. Matter of fact, many cases, if you go to any of these meetings where the hippies are in the pulpit preaching this heresy, being raptured from responsibility, which is unscriptural, it's interesting to note that if you listen to them, the only thing you want to do when you're done is actually go to a hardware store, grab some rope, and go home and hang yourself. Listen, if there's no hope in the message, Christ isn't in the message, okay? And it's not the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you, that's what is prevalent in the churches of the hippies today, in these heretics today. And how prevalent is it? Oh, my goodness. It is prevalent from start to finish when it comes to those that are in the church. It's also interesting to note that you'll find that many of them are also Zionists. It's a different topic, but it's interesting that it coincides with them. It seems that if there's a spirit of error about them, there's more behind them when it comes to the errors that they're preaching and that they're partaking with. And we'll exhibit that as we go on during this exposition today. I'm also bringing up this topic, rapture from responsibility, because I promised some people that we would highlight it because they have so many questions concerning the topic. It doesn't make sense, and I'll just say this. The Bible says we're to occupy till the Lord comes. Jesus prayed in John 17:15, Lord, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And we can see that in Scripture and the history of biblical patriarchs. And I'm thinking of the 11 of the 12 of the apostles that were martyred. If anybody deserved to be raptured more than them, I don't know who they are, including our Christ. He wasn't raptured. He ascended after his crucifixion. And that's the example we're to follow at every given step. But somehow or another, the American church today doesn't have to go through what the martyrs went through. They don't have to go through what the patriarchs went through. Nonsense. That's a lack of Christianity. You're cutting yourself off right there when you begin to promote a message that doesn't exist. I'm going to give you so many different analogies today within the next hour, friends, in stories and founding them in Scripture and tearing down the lies and those that are promulgating the lies, so I can solidify you in the soundness of what we're talking about. The word sound means without air. Okay, that's what it means. So let's get kicking on this really quick. I want to go over to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This is the one that they take out of context continuously. This is the one that they add to continuously, friends. And it's, like I said before, this is coming from the pulpits of the hippies from the 60s and the 70s. And it's repulsive. It's offensive. It truly is. Because while we're out there repairing the breaches, Isaiah 58 verse 12, these people are sitting there excluding themselves from the fight that the Lord has commanded them to take up in 1 Timothy 6:12, commanding them to fight the good fight of faith. That is out of sight and out of mind to these people. That doesn't belong to them. And if you are a part of the fight, and you are out there seeking and saving that which is lost and building bridges in the sense of building up the desolate places as it commands us to do throughout Scripture, these people over here are condemning such people as guys like me for actually doing what it is that they left off. So it's testifying to their faces what they have left off. And what's even greater than that, friends, are these are the ones that seek the day of the Lord. I mean, almost as if to suggest to themselves it's a day of light and not darkness. You got to ask yourself, really, what Bible are these people reading? Or better yet, what Bible is it that they're not reading? Well, I'm going to show that to you. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. This is what they premise their nonsense off of. But I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall together first. Then we which are alive and shall remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know who promotes this message more than the hippies and the heretics in the prosperity movement? I know not, but I can tell you that there's many more around the loop that are out in the face of the people on a continuous basis, also pushing this heresy concerning the younger generation and those that are a step above them. And I'm going to bring you over to Charlie Kirk, who's not only a Zionist, but he's also a heretic when it comes to the rapture, and also Jack Kibb. So when we come back on the other side, I'm going to pull this up, and then I'm going to show you what the Bible says about what they have to say concerning what they call the rapture. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Again, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Nick Hillman. I found it very difficult to find a local church to attend that wasn't compromised or teaching false doctrine. I've been listening to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty on Sunday mornings. If you're looking to get fed by the Word of God through Holy Spirit-led church on a weekly basis, join us on Sunday mornings or listen when you can. Bradley digs deeper and gives simple, clear understanding to the Word of God. I have never met anyone like him. He's a biblical encyclopedia that walks the walk and talks the talk, a true follower of Jesus.
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the Kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
BBSRadio.com.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email Rob at WisconsinChristianNews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. By the way, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, you can do that. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, and or BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of that page as well. If you want to call in at any time, please do. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. It's interesting. We're talking about raptured from responsibility, and it's interesting how people across the boards all have heard this, regardless if they've gone to church or not. And I'm just here to stand in the center of all this and say it's all scriptural heresy, the way that they promote the message, okay? And I'm also here to show you, friends, that this was created by man, and I'll get to that in a moment as well. But I want to go over first and foremost, because I was just highlighting that there are those that are out there that claim to be the voice pieces of the Lord, and they're claiming that so many people are getting saved through their ministry. And I got to take a step back and just see the stuff that comes out of their mouths. And it's not me like I'm going around gauging everybody, but I do have a problem when somebody says that they're a Christian and then they start to spew out this heretical nonsense like they do. Charlie Kirk is one of them who's also a Zionist. Jack Hibb is another one of those who's also a Zionist. And you have to ask the question that if they can be in error about these things, what else is it that they're in error about? And I see Charlie Kirk continuously. I mean, the guy promotes the sodomite agenda. He takes his own money out of his organization, and he supports sodomites like Pressler from Wisconsin. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. I've seen Charlie Kirk, as a matter of fact, talking at colleges, which is interesting how he's just got an open door to all this and all these diplomats in the United States of America and the president of the United States. He's a part of the problem that we're dealing with. So he's a chameleon, and he's acting out exactly what those that are going before him are teaching him, in spite of Mark 8:15, where the Lord told us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herodians. Okay? And I also want to say this before we get going here. I've given Charlie Kirk I've given him ample opportunity to get on the show. Okay? Period. Okay? He can act like he's all mightier than everybody else because I've heard from people that work with him. That's exactly how he thinks. He goes around, brags about how much money he takes in, about the people that he has on his platform, some of the stuff that goes on behind the curtains. If I brought that up to you, you'd be highly offended, friends, as to the things that are going on around these guys that are allegedly Christians. And again, going to Charlie Kirk, friends, it's just like he talks out of both sides of his mouth. And you have to ask yourself the question as to who's promoting this guy. And again, when you look at who he hangs with, you see exactly who's promoting them. They're promoting him because he's promoting them in the colleges, right? And that all makes perfect sense. Well, hence, there's Charlie Kirk. He's a confused young man. I've seen him talk at colleges where he's making reference to scripture, where he's making scriptural reference, where he's making the wrong scriptural reference. Not that that can't happen once in a while, but I've seen everything that came out of his mouth had nothing to do with the scriptures that he made reference to. And yet he's out there in the conservative movement, which again makes complete sense as to bring down people that don't know in many cases what they're talking about to go ahead and convey a confused message to others. They want to dummy the people down. Hence, you have a Charlie Kirk, not in every case, but in the cases that I've seen with him in several cases, as a matter of fact. Jack Hibbs, he's another one. Many have said that he is the president's pastor. If that was the case, if I was Jack Hibb, I would distance myself from that pedophile who's in the people's house more so now than ever concerning the hypocrisies that come out of his mouth. Because if he wants to claim to be the spiritual leader of the president of the United States of America concerning all the claims of pedophilia and violation of women, why would Jack Hibbs or why would others call him the president's pastor? Wouldn't you distance yourself from him? Absolutely. Hey, folks, bad company corrupts good character. And this is what I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He's also a Zionist. He's also one that promotes this nonsense about the rapture. And I'm just going to go ahead and let them both tell you about what I'm going to confront here. And this is just a handful of individuals, because the majority of what you see out in the evangelical world today are the ones that are promoting this heresy called rapture and Zionism. But yet today we're talking about the rapture within itself, okay? So let me go ahead and play this out for you so you can hear what they're saying, and I'll play it out long enough where it can bring it into context where you don't think I'm cherry picking or I'm omitting certain portions or taking them out of context. I don't want to do that. And again, I'm sure they're both cool guys, but they don't have the right people around them to hold them accountable for what it is that they're preaching and teaching, period. Okay? Check this out.
Out the rapture.
Yep, the Bible talks about the rapture in several locations. People need to understand something, that if they are reading an English Bible, Charlie, they will not find the word rapture. Somebody will say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the English Bible. The word rapture is found in the Latin Bible. And so the King James translators, for example, they understood that. The English, the best that we can do for the English relate to the word rapture or rapturus in Latin is two word compound. In the English, it's caught up. We will be caught up. to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It's in the Bible. If you're reading your Latin Bible in Latin, it's right there. But if you're reading, for example, Greek, Charlie, in the Greek Bible, it's the word harpazo. Caught up in English, harpazo in Greek, and rapture in Latin all means the exact same word. To be violently or quickly removed in the context is away from the earth. How do we know? John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus said it himself. I'm going to go away and to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that we will be those who have died, bodies resurrected at the rapture, and those who are alive shall be caught up, rapture, harpazo, to meet them, that is the deceased who have died before us, and meet them in the air and be with the Lord forever. So people who say it's not in the Bible, they need to understand that they get bogged down with the word rapture. How about this? Harpazo. Forget about the word rapture. Talk about harpazo. It's Greek. For us, it's closer to our understanding, but caught up in the English. It's going to happen. It's promised to the church. And people get, Charlie, what you're really scratching on now is very important doctrine. And I am, you are what's known as a futurist, premillennial, pre-tribulationist. What does that mean? It means that we take the Bible literally, where it says literally, and when it's typological, the Bible says so. For example, the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. That means we know a dove did not land on Jesus' shoulders when he was baptized. It was like a dove. However, when it's talking about the catching away of the saints, listen to this. Luke 21:36 says that when you see all these things beginning to happen in the world around you, look up and pray that you escape all these things that are coming upon the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a reference to the rapture.
Here we go.
There are many references,
nonsense,
Charlie.
Nonsense.
People just, we need to get away from our denominational isms and let the Bible speak to us itself and stop trying to read things into it. And we won't go astray if we read the word and let the word speak to us.
So Jack, let me ask you, that topic is a source of such contention. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's such passion? Because we're receiving emails on both sides. You know, a pastor just emailed me, Charlie, couldn't disagree more. I'm not even going to read it, Jack. I'm just,
yeah, it's okay.
Help me understand.
Yeah, it's okay. Isn't it tragic? So that pastor, for example, should read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And Charlie, verse 18 says, and therefore, it's all about the hope of Christ's imminent coming at any moment with no warning. And then he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. It should be a great comfort. The church's sins were judged at the cross. The church does not go the tribulation period. You can't
see this is where he starts to have the issue. The church doesn't go through the tribulation. Wait a second. Okay, now this is the conjecture that I was talking about. It's an opinion or a conclusion. He's saying, let the word speak to us. Well, the word is speaking to us, and it is speaking out against the spirit of error in which you're speaking, Jack Hibbs. Okay? To suggest that the Lord's going to take us out, he's going to raise up an army, and then when it's time to actually war and win the day, the Lord's going to go ahead and rapture us from responsibility before hard times hit. Nonsense. If that was the case, 11 of the 12 martyrs, right, wouldn't have been martyred. Period. I mean, can you imagine going back to the beginning era of our country, back in the 1700s? Can you imagine our forefathers praying to the Lord to basically deliver them from their responsibility? Nope. They went through the War of Revolution, the Revolutionary War, to establish what it is that we have at great cost to themselves. Read the end of the Declaration of Independence. This is heresy, and I'm going to come right back to this very talking point in just a moment. Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Couldn't have been better.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio Show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
It's called sowing a thought. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Remember, friends, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Charles Spurgeon rightly stated that no man is perfectly clean till he accepts absolute purity as the standard by which he is to be judged. Interestingly enough, we find in Acts 17:31, it states, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus, whom he hath foreordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Benjamin Rush was right when he stated, controversy is only dreaded by the advocates of error. Don't ever forget.
Hey there, I'm Brittany Hillman. I'm proud to call Bradley Dean with Sons of Liberty a teacher, a brother, and a friend. In God's perfect timing through the Holy Spirit, Bradley is the only person that has ever taught me the truth behind the process the Lord was bringing me through while breaking me down to make me anew. Being raised in church my whole life, I have never been to a church like this before. Bradley doesn't waver from the true gospel, and he won't compromise the truth even if it means standing alone.
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. BBSRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. We're talking about rapture from responsibility. If you got any questions, go ahead and give us a call. 281-845-4704. So what do we see happening here? We see a whole lot of speculation, number one. We see them adding to and taking away. We see a whole lot of conjecture, incomplete information. Well, they actually take what they think and then they add to the Word of God. And then we see also they're talking about pre-tribulation, that the Lord's going to come and take us out before tribulation. Nonsense. You don't see it anywhere in the history of the church. You see it nowhere in the history of church, the church. But yet they want you to believe them because now they know more than those that actually went through it and what it is that they had to go through, they want to go ahead and speculate as to what the Lord's going to do for them. Really, what it comes down to, friends, is them teaching people that it's going to get so bad that somehow or another the Lord's going to come and take them away from the war that the Lord has commanded them to wage. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what they're doing. I said right before the end of the last segment, isn't it interesting that when you look at the forefathers, were they praying that the Lord would come and rapture them from responsibility? Or any of the other wars that ensued since the beginning or the inception of this country? Did you see any of them men praying, come, Lord, and take me away from my responsibility? As if to suggest that if the Lord doesn't do it for them, then it must not be so. That means he's going to go ahead and take us out from the war that we ourselves created through our apathy and tolerance towards the things that God has commanded us to do. The Lord said in Proverbs 7:2, he said, keep my commandments and live. He said, keep my judgments, my statutes, my ordinances. Establish righteousness. Here, let me say it this way, folks. Let me say what's going on in the present concerning this nonsense that we're talking about here. The very structure of the wicked today and in any other time in the past to the present, the structure of the wicked is always built upon the disobedience of those that call themselves the Christians. Now, I'm going to say it a different way. The structure of the wicked is always built upon the backs of those that profess to be something that they are not, just like what we're seeing here. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It never has happened. Well, Bradley, what about Enoch? He was translated. Yep. What about Elijah? He was translated. Yep. What about our example that we're to follow, namely Jesus Christ, John 14:6? He ascended, yep, after the cross experience, not before. And again, folks, there's so much conjecture here that it's scary in the way that they do it. They do it shamelessly, and they go out there and they mislead people. If you look at 2 Peter 3:17, it tells us not to be led astray by the wicked. Those are those that know to do right but do it not. You know, another thing to contemplate is that when you sit there and you look at both of these guys that I just played out, Charlie Kirk and Jack Hibbs, both of them are caught up into supporting, as if to suggest that the People's White House somehow or another, he's been put in the place of King Jesus because they're following the doctrines that Donald Trump and the Zionists are actually promulgating and walking out before them. It's not Jesus Christ is the king. No, it's Donald Trump is the king because it's his doctrines that we're following. Oh, and we'll act spiritual and we'll go ahead and add a little conjecture to it to at least to get people to believe that we know a little bit more than even the Word of God declares. It's dangerous, dangerous doctrine. And again, it's heretical at every given step. Now, I can go on and on about what's going on here, friends. But how many times I have dealt with people in such a fashion sickens me to the core. And it always seems to be more than not from that hippie generation. I want to do this in parallel to what you just heard Charlie Kirk and Jack Hibb talking about. When you go back just 100 years, and you'll understand why it's been 100 years in just a moment here. If you go back just 100 and 150 years, 125 years, and before, you're not going to find any of this nonsense. You're not going to hear any of this rapture that he's highlighting, okay? And the way that he's made it out to be, which is not in the Word of God, okay? But what you're going to find is when you go back and you do commentary studies on expositions concerning what Jack Hibbs continuously brought up, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. You can't extract what he just got done saying from reading the Word alone. No, that is a spirit of error, 1 John chapter 4. And we're to test the spirits. That's what we're doing right now, right here. We're testing the spirits. Going back to the commentators of old, I just picked one. There's Albert Barnes. There's Matthew Henry. There is Adam Clark, John Wesley. There's Jonathan Edwards. There's tons of them. Charles Spurgeon does them. You're not going to find any of what he just got done talking about here. Matter of fact, if I go alone to those scriptural references that Jack Hibb just gave, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, you know what it's about? And I brought this up before, but you need to hear it again. It's premised on judgment. I just want to read just a little portion of this to you so you can understand going back 100 years and why it is I always go there. Because they were sound. They weren't flaky. They weren't weird. They weren't heretical like what we're seeing today. Albert Barnes says there are magnificent scenes before us. There's no description anywhere which is more sublime than that which is the close of this chapter. Great events are brought together here, any of which is more grand than all of the pomp of courts and all the sublimity of battle and all of the grandeur of triumphal civic processions. The glory of descending judge of all mankind. Notice what he said, the glory of the descending judge of all mankind, the attending retinue of angels and of the spirits of the dead, the loud shout of the descending host, the clangor of the archangel's trumpet, the bursting of, listen carefully, the bursting forth of graves, and the forthcoming or the coming forth of the millions there entombed, the rapid, sudden, glorious change of the millions of living men, the consternation of the wicked, hard to be understood, the ascent of the innumerable host to the regions of the air, and the solemn purpose of the judgment there. What has ever occurred like these events in the world? How strange is it that the thoughts of men are turned away from the trifles, the show, the shadow, the glitter, the empty pageantry here, to these bright and glorious realities? In these scenes, we shall all personally be interested if we do not survive till they occur. If we do not survive till we occur. Do you see how backwards this is? Yet we shall have an important part to act in them. We shall hear the archangel's trump. We shall be summoned before the descending judge. In the scenes we shall mingle not as a careless spectator, but as those whose eternal doom is there to be determined, and with the intensity of emotion derived from the fact that the Son of God will descend to judge us. Do you not see how contradictory these people are preaching today against sound theological doctrines and theologians themselves? Now, did you hear any of that from Jack Hibbs? Absolutely not. See, they're looking for this day of joy. They're looking for the day of brightness. And yet, Scripture tells us that when the Lord shows up, it's not a day of brightness. It's a day of darkness. That's what Scripture tells us. It contradicts at every given step. This is what Bradley Dean is up against. This is what Bradley Dean sees everywhere he goes, practically, when he goes inside of the church. 99% of what I see out there is going this direction, and it's the wrong direction. Let me finish this. Albert Barnes goes on concerning 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. He said, we have in the passage before us an interceding view of the order in which the great events will occur. There will be descent of the judge with the attending host of heaven. The judge. The judgment day. The raising up of the righteous dead. Listen to this again. He said, the raising up of the righteous dead. Not the disobedient, apathetic, tolerant professors within the body or the four walls, what they call the church in America today. It's completely foreign to Scripture what this man is saying. Number three, the change which the living will undergo. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in context. The ascent to meet the Lord in the air. The return with him to glory. What place in the series of wonders will be assigned for the resurrection of the wicked is not mentioned. And he goes on and he goes on. It's a judgment. It's a judgment, folks. You know what the word rapture means, by the way? Ecstasy, violence of a pleasing passion, extreme joy or pleasure. These disobedient individuals that are teaching this heresy are preaching being raptured from responsibility when Scripture tells us that when they stand before the descending judge, the fact of the matter is they're going to face off with the judge that they disobeyed. That they disobeyed. Here, folks, what you need to understand is the world they created, they're throwing that up is not their responsibility. Well, they throw it on the backs of their posterity. They're throwing it in, back in the face of God and saying, well, since you're not going to do anything about it, in spite of his commandments, you know, we can't do anything about it because we don't want to do anything about it. We want to go ahead and create a doctrine to go ahead and rapture us from responsibility. They're making haste to meet their judge that they disobeyed concerning the time that they had on this earth. I see the caller up there. I'm not getting, hey, BBS, can you kind of get that a little bit more clear concerning what he's talking about? When, oh, I get it. Sons of Liberty Radio.com. I'm going to come right back and I'm going to blow this whole thing out of the water in a moment. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. Radio.com. George Washington said during his farewell address, September 19th, 1796, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of Christian principles.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today. BBSRadio.com.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is
I don't
bring you. I'm just going to bring you right to this. And again, folks, there are certain things that are said that are true concerning Scripture, but they're taking it out of context and they're adding to it through conjecture. They're adding to it with missing information, just like Jack Hibbs is. Now, I just want to blow this whole thing out of the water. I could literally spend 3 to 4 hours just on this topic alone, as to how ridiculous it is, and it's very offensive to me, As a matter of fact, one of our friends just said, Bradley, you have to explain why the argument Jesus won't let his bride be dragged through the mud with tribulation. I want to see that in scripture, please. If you're going to go ahead and contend with me for the faith, that's fantastic. That's awesome. That's what we're here for. And we're going to defend the faith. I want you to use scripture. I don't want you to use something that you heard from somebody else, because that's what the problem is all about in the first place. If people would read their Bibles for themselves, they wouldn't be saying the things that they do. I don't know what you're talking about personally when you're saying that Jesus said that he's not going to let his bride be taken through the mud. I mean, we're a blood-bought people. Many will be martyred. He said we not only will be hated and persecuted and scoffed and mocked, but we may even be killed for our faith. Are we not the bride of Christ? Because after all, we're going through all of those things that Jesus said that we're going to go through? Absolutely not. Absolutely not, folks. Let's keep it in context. Those things are promised to us, the trials and the tribulations. When you think about it in Acts chapter 14, it says what? It says that through many trials and tribulations do we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know in America we're spoiled, but if you want to go ahead and see what it looks like to preach the gospel faithfully as unto the Lord, why don't you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look what Paul went through over and over and over and over and over again as one that was sent as an ambassador on the behalf of the Lord to go ahead and preach his gospel. People are looking for an easy way out, and the Lord said just the opposite. He said, straight and narrow and difficult is the way. Everybody in America wants the wide and the broad. They want to just say, Jesus did everything for us concerning our salvation. He did. But if you've been saved, the question I want to add to that, that you're never asked in America today, is what have you been saved for? They can't answer that question. Even if you ask them, what have they been saved from? They can't even tell you that neither. Because they've never read the Bible for themselves to know the difference. They were led to make a decision unscripturally for Jesus through an emotional plea by the hireling in the pulpit. That's just that simple. Okay? I want to blow this out of the water here for you. And I just want you to see for yourself how ridiculous this is and where this came from. And it should come as no surprise. And I'll prove that point to you in just a moment as well. I'm trying to make this an hour show today. So let's go ahead and listen to this man concerning, is the rapture a biblical doctrine?
I think Christians should believe in the rapture because it's not a biblical doctrine. This is a doctrine that was invented in the 19th century by James Darby in Ireland. And when we were on our Irish speaking tour a couple years ago, we actually visited and spent a few nights at Parscourt, where Darby used to hold his Bible studies with the rich and the noble there, and the rapture doctrine was developed. But it is not a doctrine that is affirmed historically by any of the great confessions of the Christian Church, Catholic, Orthodox, or Protestant. It's based upon a misinterpretation of certain New Testament passages where Paul talks about how the Lord will return and we who are believers will be gathered to meet him in the air. Now, the question is, when does this occur? Darby thought that this was a sort of secret return of Christ prior to the second coming of Christ on the judgment day. But there's absolutely no New Testament reason for separating this event from the second coming of Christ. When you read Jesus' Olivet Discourse in Mark 13 and you read Paul's teaching in light of that, it seems quite clear to me, at least, that Christ will return at the end of human history. This will be his second coming. His first was the one that ended with his crucifixion and resurrection. That was his first coming. His second coming will be when he comes on the day of the Lord for judging the world and determining people's final state. So when Christ returns on the judgment day, he will bring with him the souls of the departed saints. And then those who are alive at the time of his return will be gathered to meet them in the air and accompanied the Lord then to the earth for the final judgment. And so it seems to me that it is illusory to invent this secret preemptory return of Jesus prior to his second coming.
Exactly. So again, I just, as much as it's got to hurt for guys like Jack Hibb and Charlie Kirk and others that are just going right along with it. Well, you know what? Let me stop there for a moment because I do want to lay to your candor. I said to you at the beginning of the show that they're also Zionists. You remember I said that, right? Yeah, I just want to make sure that you understand that because this is what these people do. It's baseless. Their belief system is baseless. It's premised on man and man's word and speculation and conjectures and contradictions. It's not premised on fact. It's not premised on the word. If Jack was listening to the word, he wouldn't be spewing out this nonsense, right? Did you know that when you look at concerning the Zionists, did you know that there was a man named Theodore Herzl? He was the founder of Zionism in 1897. You also know that back in 1940s, in the 1940s, 47 and 48, Jacob Rothschild actually created Israel on the back of Theodore Herzl, the founder of Zionism in 1897. Did you know that Theodore Herzl was an atheist, he said? He didn't believe God. So here's a question for you. How is a nation developed by a man who doesn't believe God, yet somehow goes on to establish a state that God has promised to his chosen people? Because that is modern day Israel. Jack Hibbs, Charlie Kirk, both Zionists. I know Charlie Kirk's getting it like big time from college students. You know, all those stupid kids in public schools. I'm being facetious. Nope. Them stupid kids discern like nobody's business, and they've done their due diligence to confront the likes of a Charlie Kirk and a Jack Hibbs. Okay? I'm not saying they're not cool guys. I'm not saying that they haven't done good things. But in this one, folks, they're way off base. And they're Zionist. And it doesn't just come down to them. So if they believe in the state of Israel, because Jack Hibbs continuously makes reference to keep your eye on Israel, keep your eye on Israel. It's man-made Israel. Folks, again, in contrast, Martin Lloyd-James was right when he said the church is the new Israel, the spiritual Israel, the true seed of Abraham, and she consists of Jews and Gentiles. The Jews of the Lord. Oh, and by the way, my Christ, my Lord, he's Jewish. But there's a distinction that needs to be made between the Jews of the Lord and those that claim to be Jews. And Jesus said they are not, but do lie. Who are those that lie? The Zionist? This is what I'm talking about. If they're going to go ahead and follow the doctrines of men, they're also going to preach the same thing. Hence, you have a Charlie Kirk and a Jack Hibbs. Folks, I could, again, as I said, spend hours on this right now. But the fact of the matter is, I did it within 1 hour. Thank you for holding on, my friend from Utah. It's all yours. You got 30 seconds.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've got friends and family who believe Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, which reads, and I'm not going to read it word for word, you know, he who blesses Israel shall be blessed, and he who curses Israel shall be cursed. And yeah. They believe that they will not be saved unless they support the bloody Zionist state of Israel today.
Yeah, well,
and it's very sad.
Yeah, and you know as well as I do, you just said it, the bloody state of the Zionist Israel. It's not the Israel of God. It's man-made Israel, as I just highlighted. And it's interesting, and the point that I was making here concerning the rapture was the fact that if a Jack Hibbs and these other Zionists will believe Zionism, that it's actually God's land and his people, then they're going to believe all this other nonsense that they're spewing out today, and therein lies the problem. And this is what these people are feeding on. But great point. I'm sorry that I have to cut this off. Heartbreak. Thank you for the call from Utah. Totally appreciate you guys. I did it within 1 hour. May have been choppy, but I was just going back and forth in thought as to what needs to be applied to lay the axe to this heresiacal, folks, this heresies that these people teach. And what's interesting is people need to read the Word of God for themselves to know the heresy for themselves rather than saying, Bradley, what does the Bible say about this? Well, let me ask you, what does the Bible say about it? Do your own diligence, John 7:17, 2 Timothy 2:15 as well. See ya.